So, oh my God, I want to say it. Been a long, long time. They worked initially many years ago. They worked with Josh McDowell Ministries, which is a part of Campus Crusade for Christ. They call it Crew these days. They worked for many years with Josh personally, coordinating his ministry and travel and all of those kinds of things. And then they began, through Josh's ministry, began to have an outreach ministry of goods that people needed around the world. So I think, as I understand, I remember that sort of started as a way to open doors in other mm-hmm. countries to get Josh's yep. ministry available to other countries. And it grew so big, they wound up spinning that ministry off as its own ministry, the Global Aid Network. And Dwayne ran that for Campus Crusade for Crew for many, many years. And then several years ago, felt like the Lord was telling him to step aside and wait for the next stage of his ministry. And lo and behold, Josh called him again. I guess he just couldn't do without you, brother.
I couldn't do without him, I guess.
Dwayne Zook is now the CEO of Josh McDowell Ministry and does travel the world. They're moving Josh's ministry into the digital age mm-hmm. and into the next generation. And Dwayne is spearheading all of that, and he'll share updates with you on what they're doing with all that today, as well as maybe some personal things that God is doing in his life. Let me pray with you one more time, brother. Thank you, Father, for this precious, precious servant of God. Thank you for his gentle spirit. Thank you for his courageous and bold heart to go into all the world. Thank you for sending him to us today. And I pray that you open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes to the things of the Spirit today, that we would all be encouraged in our own spiritual journeys through the message that our brother brings to us today. May the anointing of your Spirit be upon him today, and may we receive some from that to be encouraged in our walk. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, share what the Lord tells you to do.
Thank you. Set my timer there so I don't go 3 hours. No. Yeah. It is a delight for Jeannie and me to be here with you this morning. And I have three parts that I want to share this morning. One is just a personal update. And then I want to share just a message of some things that I've been learning. And I trust that that will communicate some things to where you are in your personal journey with the Lord. And then lastly, I want to share a few updates on what is happening through our ministry with the Josh McDowell Ministry and crew. Jeannie and I have two children. Both are grown. Both have children of their own. Our daughter Emmy lives 2 hours away from us and has a 6-year-old daughter, a 4-year-old, and 2-year-old sons. And we get out to see them. Jeannie gets out a little more than I do, but just in Tyler, Texas, and it's fun to be able to be that close to them. On the other hand, God has called our son and his wife to the opposite side of the globe, and they are serving with crew in East Asia, reaching students in a closed country, studying the language, that's their visa, but that allows them on campus to meet students and to share Christ with them. And they have a 3-year-old daughter and a son, Malachi, who will be turning 1 the end of this month. And we were privileged to all be together with them in March. So we don't get to see them very often except digitally through FaceTime or Google Duo or whatever means. But we live in the Dallas area and have been there, believe it or not, 24 years. It's amazing. We almost feel like Texans. As Jeannie and I say, you can take the girl out of Virginia and the boy out of Pennsylvania, but you can't take the Virginia or the Pennsylvania out of us. And so it's always good to be here. Becky, the song that you sang fits right in to what I want to share this morning. But before I go there, let me say thank you for your consistent prayers. Thank you for your consistent partnership through your giving. We could not do we could not do what we do without that. And actually, you are having a ministry around the globe in places that you may not even realize. And so I want to say thank you. But Becky, your song, You Never Change, you are the God you say you are. When I'm afraid, you come and still my beating heart. You stay the same when hope is just a distant thought. You take my pain and lead me to the cross. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess that you are always enough for me. That's all I need. The title of what I want to share this morning comes out of some personal experience, but it's serving our Lord in the midst of the unexpected. Serving our Lord in the midst of the unexpected. Do you like surprises? Some of you are shaking your head yes. Some of you are saying no. How about those that are unexpected? There are some surprises that are fun. There are some interruptions that are difficult and catch us off guard. In fact, some are so difficult, they may almost make you feel like you're slammed to the ground and not know where to turn, and perhaps even take your breath away. December 28th, this past year, I walked in the door. It was 7 p.m., door of our home, and my phone was ringing, buzzing. My arms were full, and so I didn't take it. I greeted Jeannie, and I looked at my phone, and I noticed it was one of our staff women. And so I called her back. She and her family, her husband and their daughter and family, were in Mexico over the holidays. I called her, and she shared that earlier that afternoon, her husband had drowned. He was doing what he loved to do. He was in the ocean fishing with nets with his 8 or 9 year old grandson. They had done this 3 days in a row. That day, they had caught the biggest catch that they had ever caught. Jennifer had run back to the hotel to get the rest of the family to come back and show them. And when she came back, she saw a lot of people, the EMT people, a lot of people around, some individuals. And her grandson was fine. But they worked 30 minutes to try to bring Jeff, our vice president of global publishing, back to life. Jennifer shared that the people around them were praying. She said she heard prayers in English. She heard prayers in Spanish, of course. She said, I even heard prayers in Hebrew. People were praying. When I heard that, I had to sit down. He was only 62. He was a dear friend. He and I worked together very closely. He was one of our key leaders. An interruption. A surprise. And the unexpected. And yet, I knew There's a difference between what my heart was feeling in my head. I mean, it was just totally messed up. I knew that God was still on his throne. I knew that this did not catch God by surprise. I knew that every event that happens is not random. It's not meaningless. I knew in my head that every event is placed divinely in our path, no matter how pleasant or how unpleasant. Romans 8:28 is a passage we're familiar with. And I was reading that yesterday on the train ride down here, the greater context of verse 28. When you get home, read the greater context of 8, verses 18 to 30. The verse we're familiar with is, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. That's difficult to really believe when something like what happened to Jeff happened. We know that to be true. For you, for us, it might be things like a sick child, an accident, slow traffic that drives us crazy. But you know, those are important tools, divine tools that God uses in our lives for our sanctification. And I don't know about you, whether it's a small interruption or a big interruption, sometimes we overlook those. Especially in the small ones, we overlook them. But the reality is that we often won't have major events in our lives that cause us to trust God and obey him. It's usually the little things, the little irritations that cause us to trust God. And you know, in the scriptures, there's lots of interruptions, lots of stories that talk about how God brought interruptions into people's lives. Noah, God asking him and his son to build an ark. They lived inland. Who knows? They may have never even seen a boat, let alone a ship. What an interruption. Moses in Exodus 3, when God interrupted his life in an incredible way, when he saw a burning bush, but the bush didn't burn up. And then God spoke to him. Abraham, when God asked him to sacrifice his only son. Job, when he lost everything and then confronted by his so-called friends. Saul, when he was on the way to Damascus and he was obsessed with his anti-Christian crusade, Saul never expected Jesus to show up on the road to Damascus. And there Jesus showed up. Ananias was part of that story, and he did not expect this Saul of Tarsus, who was persecuting believers, to show up and ask for prayer and ask for help. And then the radical change that happened in Saul was unexpected by the Jewish leaders. The disciples in John 4, when they saw how Jesus dealt with the Samaritan woman at the well, both the disciples as well as the Samaritan woman were surprised. The disciples, because they knew that Jews had a hard time with Samaritans. Why was Jesus talking, spending time with the Samaritan? The woman was surprised that a Jew would ask her for water. And then we all know the ongoing story of how Jesus promised her living water. An unexpected surprise. John 8, when the scribes and the Pharisees brought to Jesus the woman accused of adultery, and then how Jesus dealt with them and her in an unexpected way. You know, most likely, you and I are not going to be called to build an ark or take our only child up to Mount Moriah. Rather, he brings other divine interruptions into our lives, the little things where we are given opportunities to rely on him, to obey him. It's in these moments where the rubber meets the road, where our faith is stretched, and we look down to see if we're standing on a rock or standing in sand. On what Jesus promised and God promised, that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness, or on the sand of depending perhaps on our feelings. Sometimes our feelings take over. We are human. So, and we begin to sink. And sometimes God brings another person along us to pull us out, to support us in that interruption. Do I really believe that God is in control of all the details of our life? Do we believe that his grace is sufficient to get us through the day? Do we really believe that the power of the gospel, that the gospel of Christ is so powerful, not only enough to save us for eternity, but also to sustain us and to strengthen us in the midst of life's interruptions? These interruptions, I believe, are acts of God's grace. It's a little bit different way of looking at it. Why do I say that they're God's act of grace? Well, number one, I think they force us some time to work through some questions. They sometimes force us to face our sin. Sometimes they are God's way of taking off our blinders and making us see that we need the gospel of Christ every moment, every second, every hour of the day. These interruptions sometimes are a light that shines on the darkest inner recesses of our heart, revealing the truth of what's really there. The sins and the idols that perhaps we've pushed off into the corner, thinking that if we can't see them, they don't exist. Three truths about this. Small interruptions and small frustrations give us opportunities to rely on God, number one. Number two, Christ cares more about our transformation than our daily comfort. More about our transformation than our daily comfort. And thirdly, this is something John Piper shared, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. For me, in the moments of the unexpected or perhaps great loss, you might be like me, and your go-to book in the scriptures oftentimes is the book of Psalms. For example, after hearing about Jeff's untimely and unexpected death, Jeannie and I are part of a small home group in our church. And that particular week, we were asked to lead that particular session. Interestingly enough, and this was like 3 days later, the topic was dealing with despair and grief. It's like, oh Lord, why me now? The theme verse for the study was from Psalm 27, 13 and 14, where the psalmist wrote, "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. It was easy to be despaired or in despair after hearing about Jeff, but this passage reminded me, it centered me on the rock. It centered me on the hope we have in Christ. It was tough to feel, but I knew it to be true. And it was a source of comfort. David's pleas in the Psalms to God and his expressions to God can oftentimes reflect our heart and our heart's alarm like nothing else can do. When we bask in his word, in the presence of the word, this is where we can learn to deal with the unexpected. Five closing truths in this particular section about dealing with the unexpected. Number one, God knows the best plan for me in this very moment. Psalms 27 says, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." So he knows the best place for me in this very moment of interruption. Number two, God will provide his strength to get me through this situation. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. God is our refuge and strength. So he will provide his strength to get us through. Thirdly, God will hear me, God will hear us when I come and pray to him. Psalms 18, verse 6. "In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears." Comforting. God will hear me. Fourthly, God has worked wonders in the past and will do it again. Psalm 77, verse 11 and 14. And one of the reasons I'm reading these scriptures is to help us be reminded again of how alive scriptures can come in times of interruption, in the good times and the tough times. God has worked wonders in the past and will do it again. Psalm 77, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord." Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. And then fifthly, God has a plan for everything that happens in our lives. Psalm 37, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand." He upholds his hand. These are God's promises to you. These are God's promises to us in the times of facing the unexpected. Yes, sometimes it's tough to feel the weight or the truth of these promises, but again, that's where God can enter in and help us through these times. I was talking with a friend yesterday in Pennsylvania. He shared with me, I had not seen him for a few years. He's in his upper 70s. And he shared with me a story of how God interrupted his life 7 years ago. Life was good. I forget how many grandkids and great-grandkids he has. He's been a very successful businessman. 7 years ago, he was diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer. And he said, Dwayne, you know, Beulah and I, not once were we afraid. He said, I knew God was in this mess, that God could help me in this mess, and that if God chose to take me home, so be it. If God chose to heal me and have me continue living, I would enjoy that in a new way. And he said, one of the things that came out of this was God worked, and he's doing okay now. I don't know that he is totally cured, but he's doing remarkably well. But he said, God worked into me a new sensitivity to others. He said, you know me, and I do. Wonderful guy. But he always just sort of spoke. It came across a little gruff, and it was like sometimes his way or the highway. But he said, through this, God has allowed me to become more of a compassionate person. I saw that in him yesterday. The way he shared, he never would have shared that way with me. God used that interruption to work his grace into this man's life. That's how God can work. Now, Jeff's death still leaves us with the reality that he's not around. That was, close to 5 months ago? It's still tough. His office, he would walk by my office on the way in, and I'd always hear his rollerboard coming. I still can imagine those. One night a few weeks ago, I had a dream that I heard his rollerboard coming down the hall again. That's the reality. And yet, God's grace is sufficient through this time. Please pray for his wife, Jennifer. They have two daughters who are both married. They have 7 grandchildren, I think. Jeannie, is that right? 5 in North Carolina and 2 up in Missouri. Jennifer is, when I say she's doing okay, she's doing as well as can be expected. But please pray for her and her family. In light of what happened to him, I have stepped in to help give interim leadership to the Global Publishing, and that's been stretching. So you can pray for me also. I feel like I had a full plate. My plate either is fuller or bigger. I'm not sure which. So you can pray for me as I work through that. Just a few updates on the ministry. We continue to work in the Middle East, Central Asia, North Africa, China. We have some exciting things beginning to happen in Southeast Asia. One of our staff who's from Korea, he is doing what we call, he calls them bare fact seminars, but he has taken some of Josh's resources and developed a full-day seminar for teachers, for students, for pastors and parents, and he's done them in Korea, in the Philippines, in Vietnam, Cambodia. He has plans to continue. He's done some in China. He hopes to be able to do some of those this coming fall in Pakistan. He's going to these places that are not necessarily the easiest. It's easier for a Korean to get in than an American, actually. But God's doing some amazing things through him. His name is Nam Young. One of the new things that's happened since I was here last a couple years ago, prior to 2 years ago, Josh was the only speaker and author with us. We now have brought on three new speakers and communicators. Two of them are 30, and one of them is 50. And so this is part of the future of the Josh McDowell Ministry, and we're excited about that. The two young guys are the 49-year-old is young too, I guess, compared to Josh. He'll turn 80 in August, by the way, but he still travels 300 days a year, and he's in Argentina right now. He runs circles around people half his age. But with these three new communicators, they are getting out and beginning to speak here in the U.S. The two young guys are really focused on youth ministry, and they are beginning to work on what we call the Wholeness Initiative. Everyone has, almost everyone deals with hurts from their past, wounds in their past, and what they're talking about is as we experience wounds, as we deal with those wounds, how do we become whole spiritually, emotionally, and spiritually? And so they're developing some messages on that, and they're co-authoring a book that will be coming out early next year. Have another guy that's been a vision of doing something that Josh and I have been talking about for years, and that is, as we've been international, they keep saying, do you have any courses or curriculum based on Josh's resources and the Josh McDowell Ministry resources? A guy joined us last fall, and he's beginning to do that. Some of the new technology and digital things that are exciting, I think I shared the hotspot and the little micro SD cards and things like that in the past. We have something that is called the augmented reality version of More Than a Carpenter. This is More Than a Carpenter in Arabic. We printed our first, I can't remember if it was 5 or 10,000. I got my copy when I was in Beirut in March. And in here, there are, I have to hold it the right way. They read it the other way. but there's pictures in here. And even a picture of Jesus from the Jesus film. I know it's hard to see that. And there is, those of you who are music lovers, and I know many of you are here, there's some music score here. And what you do with this, you download an app and you hold your phone from the app over that picture, and that will take you to a video that talks about what's in that chapter. Now, the cool thing on these, we have 220 videos. And the cool thing is that those videos will change every couple weeks. We have a guy that changes those. The Jesus film is broken down into about 60 different segments, 1 to 2 minute segments. It will take you to a different Jesus film segment every couple weeks. The music will change every week or so. That is, so smartphone, and about 85 to 90% of the people in the Arab world have a smartphone. Maybe not an iPhone, it's oftentimes an Android, but they will hold, they'll download the app, and they'll be able to watch a video as they read the book. So that's something new that we're testing this year. We're testing, it was printed in Beirut, so we're testing in Lebanon, in Jordan, in Egypt, and Iraq, and also in Is this being taped?
Yes.
Okay. In another very closed country, right next to Lebanon, that there's been a lot of war, and so it's being tested there also. I don't give the name just to protect the people there, mainly, but that's something exciting. The other thing is, this is an Arab Right Choice Family Bible. We met, Jeff actually met with the, it's the Pope of the Coptic Church, Pope Tuardus, the Coptic Church in Egypt. And they had a request for 1 million of these. And you say, why 1 million? Well, there are little villages throughout Egypt that don't have Bible stories, pieces of God's, portions of God's word. And this has very colorful. It has the Bible story, and it also has some questions for, has a key thought and questions for parents to discuss with their kids. And there are little QR codes in here that, again, if you hold your phone, your QR scanner over that QR code, it'll take people to the Jesus Film video that's linked to that particular story. We have now been able to print, I think, about 70,000. And just last week, we got a gift, unexpected surprise, a gift that we'll be able to print 40,000 more. So that'll put us up over 100,000. That's only 10% of the way, but the stories we're getting are amazing in terms of how families are using this to get God's word, what God has to say to them, into these little villages that oftentimes are being persecuted. So that's been fun. Also, I have a guy in Turkey who has been developing an app, and you can access it on the web also. It's a joshmedia.net app where he has been loading his vision, and our vision was to create a library of all of Josh's books in all of the Central Asian languages. And so we have about 10 different languages. Probably there are at least 40 different books that are on that. And our first phase is to put the book digitally so that they can read it. And then some of the books are audio. And our next phase is to put videos on. And so languages like Uzbek, Turkmen, Tajik, Kyrgyz, Kazakh, Russian. We have Farsi, Urdu. So Ukrainian. So those are some of the, that's another thing that we've been trying to figure out. How are people receiving information? People still want to read books. More and more people want to have short segments and experience truth in another format, especially the millennials and younger. And so we're trying to figure out how do we use YouTube? How do we use Facebook? How do we use some other apps to be able to get God's word and God's message to people? Two quick stories from my time in Turkey with the staff from Central Asia. And one is I met this lady. Turned out she was from China. We'll call her Mary. And she said, I love Josh's books. I love Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And I said, tell me about it. Why do you love them? When did you first see them? And she said, when I was a student in Shanghai, I was an atheist, or at least an agnostic. I had nothing to do with God. But somehow, someone shared with me digitally a copy of Josh's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Now, that's a thick book. It's a big book. It's not one you just read straight through. At least most people don't. And she said, I was a university student. Every morning, on my way to campus, I would read Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And she said, as I read that, that began to deal with the questions that I had about Christ, about God's word, about life in general. And she said, as a result, I trusted Christ. Now, the cool part of the story is she's now a missionary in Turkey reaching college students. Isn't that cool? Another story, a guy, his name is Ruslan, from another Central Asian country. He shared with me how he, as a 20-year-old, was diagnosed with TB, the worst kind of TB you could have. He was in the hospital. He was being treated. Finally, the doctors and the health people said, there's no hope. There is no cure, and you just need to go home and die. You will never be married. You will never have children. Just go home. Can't help you. So he didn't know where to go. He left the hospital. He was hitchhiking. He was actually hitchhiking with the intent of being dropped off so that he could commit suicide. That's how desperate or how hopeless he was. Happened to be picked up by two young men, and you'll probably guess the rest of the story. They were believers. God brought two believers into his life, into this hopeless moment that Ruslan had, and they began to share with him. They gave him a New Testament, another Bible tract, and a copy of More Than a Carpenter. And they sparked enough hope in him that he decided to start reading More Than a Carpenter. And as he read through it, he said, this makes sense. But he said, I don't know what to do with it. Well, at the end of More Than a Carpenter, in most of our languages, we have a gospel explanation. Oftentimes, it's the four spiritual laws. And he read that and he said, this makes sense. So he trusted Christ right there. God began to give him hope. The end of the story is God healed this man miraculously. He now is a pastor. He's now on staff with Campus Crusade. And he's now training others and giving other people hope. Talking about how God can come down, the interruption of TB was a very unpleasant one. The two young men with the gospel, More Than a Carpenter, the New Testament, the four spiritual laws, gave him, was an interruption of grace, of God providing. So the end of the story here is, wherever you are at, every one of us are on a journey. We may be doing really well. We may be struggling with an interruption right now. God knows where each of you are. God has a plan. God will provide. God will protect. We can choose to stand on the rock, or we can choose to be on the sand. But even in the sand, we can pray for God to bring interruptions of grace into our life, to bring us centered back in to where He has us. I could share a lot more, but I'm out of time. So let me pray. Lord, thank you again for just the opportunity we have to be together here this morning. We do thank you that you know each one of us, not only by name, but by everything that we are experiencing, whether it's good things or tough things. Lord, we are dependent on you. We know and we claim that your grace is sufficient, and we are so grateful for that. Thank you that our hope is in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.